Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 26, Priests and Levites. You remember in the previous discourse, chapter 11, verses 1 to 36, we were looking at the settlement of the Jews in Jerusalem and, of course, in the villages. Now we move on to the special group within Israel, within Judah, the priests and the Levites. Now, we must be very, very clear here at this point. We must be quite clear in our minds as we approach this. Now, these priests and Levites are essential in the Old Covenant. If you're talking about the temple, talking about the worship, talking about the service of God, the festivals, the feasts, and so on, the tabernacle in the old days, now the temple, the priests and the Levites are vital in the Old Covenant. And let's use a long word, it's a necessary word, sacerdotalism. What do I mean? That these men are performing the service of God. They're worshipping God, carrying out the religious services, performances, for, on behalf of, the people of Judah, the Hebrews. This is the Old Covenant system. This is what God set up. He set up men who would offer on behalf of, kind of mediators, intercessors, priests, Levites. These men do the work of God. You get this in Hebrews very clearly, chapter 9, for example. You get it in Romans chapter 9. You get it about these people. The Israel has these services, the covenants, the adoption and so on, but they have the services, the temple, the earthly sanctuary, and these men are responsible for the music, for the worship, for the sacrifice, but not the new covenant. Let me say that again. This is Old Covenant, not the new covenant. The fathers went to the Old Covenant and took these principles, priests and Levites and so on, moved them into the new covenant, covered them over with sort of New Testament words, a bishop, for example, or elder or presbyter and so on. But what they were doing is bringing the Old Covenant into the new and ruining the new covenant. We have a temple. We have a Sabbath. We have the festivals. We have the feasts. We have the altar. We have all these things. But they were just shadows. We have the reality, and that reality is in one word, one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest. He offers a sacrifice. Jesus offered his blood on my behalf. He intercedes for me without ceasing. No human priest, no man, but the man, God, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as Bishop Ryle said, J.C. Ryle said, he said, the trouble is, he said, most men prefer a visible minister to an invisible. They prefer a manly minister, the Pope at Rome, or some priest, or some vicar, or somebody, or some pastor, or somebody, to the invisible minister, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back to this passage in Nehemiah with that great caveat. I know that's a long caveat, but it's a very, very important one. What do we learn here? Well, these people here, these priests and Levites, are leading the worship for Judah. You see, they're not just building a city and houses and a temple just for that sake. They want to worship God and bring back Judaism and make Zion the great city of God again. And these people perform the worship of God on behalf of the Jews here. And it's all prescribed, verse 24. David set it out. It's all set up to guard the temple, verse 25, to the service of God, verse 26. It's all there, set out. And they're listed, these men. They're given honor and respect and noted. They don't mean anything to us, I dare say, but it's in this old covenant. It meant so much to these people. So what's the equivalent for us in the New Covenant? I've been very negative about it. Well, we're all priests. This is called the priesthood of all believers. I've written a book on it, The Priesthood of All Believers. Not just a few believers, not just one believer in a church. Not just a few at the top. No, all believers are priests and Levites in the proper spiritual sense. This is a vital point. This applies to you, my brother, my sister. Male and female, we're all priests of God. It's the priesthood of all, not some believers. We are here to worship God 24/7, not on special feast days or special places, wherever we go, whatever we do or say or think, do all to the glory of God. This is the service of God. The New Testament honors men of good men, just like the Old Testament does, but not for the same reason. It's not that these men are elevated priests and ministers above us. We're all meant to be the servants of God. Look at the list there in Romans 16. Look at the people that are picked out and honored. Jesus with the widow's two mites and so on. This is, we've got to get these things right. God has chosen the weak and the foolish, not the great and the noble. And there's no performing of service on behalf of, all that kind of language is old covenant. Are you on the list, my brother? My sister? Well, you are. But are you an active member on the list? Would you be reckoned today? People say, this man does the service of God, not on behalf of others, not as a priest or as a pastor or merely a preacher, but it really is a servant of the living God, a God servant. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A priest of the Most High God, a Levite, one who serves the Lord, not in the old covenant sense, but in the new. I ask again, are you an active member? Are you in the active role? Member in military terms, men used to get demobbed and be put on the reserve list and might be called up if they were needed, but they were not active. They were not serving God, serving the military, and so on. But they were there just in case. Are you a supernumerary, my friend, in the cause of Christ, or are you serving Christ? Are you one of the priests of God? Well, you are if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, a true saint. Are you an active priest? These men are recorded. May God find my name recorded. May he have written down my name as one who has honored him and served him 24/7, pleasing to the Lord. May it be so. I hope you feel the same, my friend. Amen.